Welcome to another edition of BJ Shay's Board Game Alliance. I am not Joey D's. I think he's in a ditch nursing a hangover somewhere.
Likely.
But I need to both run the board and pay attention because I apparently am getting a nickname. It's Vicky doing it all for the cookie bee. Yeah, I love it. I did it all for the cookie. Yeah, the cookie.
Has there been a Cookie Monster remake of that?
Yeah.
I would imagine there has
No,
to be,
yeah, that's
right?
Where I got it from. Yeah. Oh, somebody nice. Did it. I did it all for the cookie. Yeah. Look it up on the YouTubes, kids. with me is also Josh Utley from Omega Gamers.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going? You look very excited to be here, sir.
I'm awake. Step one.
We also have Sean Epperson of Thing 12 Games.
Oh, hey.
He's not allowed to talk.
Hey. Oh, some sassiness going on today. All right.
He's my ally, so naturally he's at me at every second of the day.
Lies. Big news.
I know who I believe. But today we do got some board game talk, because it is the Board Game Alliance. Maybe some con talk going on soon. Maybe some quick starters. Yeah. But before we get into all that delicious funness, how can they get a hold of us, Josh?
Well, they can have the proper thing open and not fail at life.
Oh, that's what I did.
Or go to bjgeeknation.com for all the podcast, blogs, interviews, videos, links, and more.
More.
Cookies?
Cookies!
also, search for us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, or go to odyssey.com.
Odyssey!
A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Today's episode is brought to you by Odyssey. And obviously some weird...
I don't think people will know how much that Odyssey whispered. It just entertains us.
Or any of the like echoes. Like, Odyssey, yes. more. It's solely for our entertainment. Yep. All right, fine. I guess we'll get into the podcast. We're just dilly-dallying, being silly today because... Yes.
Yes.
But we do have a couple cons coming up.
Yeah, we do.
Are you guys excited?
I'm excited, honestly. Very excited right now.
Okay, what is that?
But I'm going on like a 2-week stretch of nonstop conning. I'm going to be very tired by the 13th of March.
Yeah, it's like, don't talk to me for a few weeks after. Don't expect me to do anything. I'm going to be, first one is a local to us.
Yes, first one is the first back to regular scheduling Emerald City Comic Con 2023 at the Seattle Convention Center, no longer the Washington State Convention Center.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Because we got a new convention center, brand spanking new, first time used for GeekyCon anyway, that I know of. It's downtown Seattle, one block from the old convention center.
It looks fancy. I drive by it every day.
It looks fancy, and it's way bigger, although I cannot tell from the outside. From the outside, it looks like a smaller building.
I feel like it's going to be like a...
Is it like a TARDIS?
TARDIS, yeah. I'll say Mary Poppins bag.
Well, I found out the show floor is on floor zero, below the parking garage.
That's so weird.
So reception's going to be great.
I'm guessing. I don't know. I've never been inside. I have zero clue. This will be fun. This will be like an adventure, a new con, because first we have to not get lost.
Yeah, in theory, like, you know, you think you build a new convention center, especially considering how big of how big conventions are that roll around through Seattle. So it has to be bigger, you would think, right? But I feel like in the last couple of years, because of a certain panini that's been floating around, we... haven't seen a whole lot of attendance, not as much as previous years.
Correct.
So I have a feeling that hopefully, maybe it's just me wishful thinking, it's going to be a little chiller in the sense of like space between rows and being able to see people.
Well, combining with a bigger convention center, the main show floor being much bigger than the old main show floor, and con hesitation. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's going to be a lot of room this year. I agree with you. I think that's how it's going to feel, even though attendance will definitely be up from last year.
Yes. What are your guys' plans at Emerald City Comic Con, as if I didn't already assume?
Well, Zulu's Board Game Cafe are going to be running the board gaming area up on floor 4.
Oh, whoa. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's a whole like thing.
And so weird there's parking between floors.
Well, yeah.
That way you
it's
can...
like sandwich in the middle.
Actually,
that's awesome, though, because like, when you buy a bunch of stuff, you can just easily go to your car, drop it off, come back.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Not that I would ever buy anything at a con. But they're running up on 4. All the board gaming will be up on 4. They may have given us a table.
Yay!
So we will be next to Zulu's. Just look for the loud,
obnoxious,
not the brightest group of people yelling at each other.
But the most welcoming group.
Yes.
We always welcome new gamers.
Absolutely not yell at the new people.
Yeah, we just yell at each other.
When I say we, I mean me and Sean. No guarantees from BJ.
Yeah.
But if you're showing up for BJ, that's probably what you want. Hey, yeah. BJ, yell at me.
Did it all for the yelling. Are you guys planning on being there the whole time?
I will be there all 4 days. I'm staying in a hotel downtown.
Well played.
And Sean is dropping me off, so I don't even have to worry about the car.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So.
I'm driving in every day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, baby.
Look at you. Yeah, so if you guys happen to be at Emerald City Comic Con, want to do some gaming, you guys are always open to people coming by, saying hi, and
even
joining in for a game or two.
For cons, for us, it's more important to talk to people. Yes, we're going to be playing games, and we'll attempt to get through them, but we don't care if we do or not.
It's more of the hanging out with people while playing games and meeting new people.
And even if you don't know like how to play a game or something like that, we're super welcoming to teach people and help them out and stuff like that. If we're going to get aggressive, it's going to be beating each other up and helping you out.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I do like about if you get a good group of gamers, like when you're new to either the group or just the game itself. You know it's a good group when they're like, we're not trying to beat you while we're teaching you.
Yeah. That's
never.
Our fun.
Yeah.
Never. We tend to double down on Sean in that case.
Oh, yeah.
So just like, watch this.
To be fair.
This is how you do that to someone, Sean.
He usually reads you the rules incorrectly and then.
Ah, man, attacking.
Reads.
Doesn't mean we don't love you.
What do you mean he reads the rules?
I just look at the pictures.
Yeah. Like he can read?
Look at the pretty pictures.
I think this is what this means. I make fun of you. I am going to make fun of you, but I do the same thing. So I'm like, you read, because no.
Well, you missed one of our last episodes. It's the perfect storm against Sean. For one, he's had trouble with game teaching on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And then a Kickstarter sent him a game with a Italian-only rule book.
Yes.
I mean, they have apps for translation now that you can just scan over the thing, but even then, it's not 100% accurate.
It was more than a few pages, too. It was like, boy, this is going to be interesting. But to their credit, they actually sent me the correct English rulebook
and
fixed pieces. So.
Yeah, they fixed it up. But it is funny. Like, okay, guys, hear me out. I'm going to teach you a new game, but
that's when I was like, I'm putting some whiskey in my coffee right now. No, thank you. This is going to be a headache.
But yeah, if you see us at a con, you want to come by, you want to talk board games, Oathsworn Corner will be open 24/7. Just come and find me. We will discuss Oathsworn and all its beautiful elegance. Or if you're sane and want to play any other game, we can talk about that too.
Yes.
I believe BJ will be there Saturday.
He will be.
I'm not 100% sure about Joey's plans.
I think I don't know.
Yeah, so
he's maybe.
He's a maybe. I know I'm going to probably go one day, whether Saturday or Sunday, because I will be bringing the little baby brother.
Oh, he's going to have fun.
Oh, I think he's going to enjoy the crap out of it. He's going to be a little unsure because he's like, people?
They have a kids costume contest, and the rules are not as restrictive. It doesn't have to be homemade because they just basically walk by and get a high five, and that's the costume contest for kids.
See, when he was little, we won the costume contest here at work for Halloween. We were Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, nice.
Of course we won because he was 1 year old, and he was a freaking adorable baby.
Rigged.
Oh, yeah. The year before, same thing. Somebody had their kid. I'm like, I'm winning this year. So I brought the baby.
Nice.
No, but yes, please. If you see any of us while we're there, please say hi if you want to hang out, especially while game playing. I'll probably be chasing a 4-year-old around. So
another big thing for people who go to cons that they'll run around like for 4-year-olds chasing the entertainment guests, the big names.
Ooh.
Who did they get this year? Well, their guest of honor, the Hulk himself, Mark Ruffalo.
I was going to say, which Hulk? Because there's a couple. No, Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we got Amala Lee. Mm-hmm. I'm unfamiliar with her.
Amala Lee.
YouTube, my dress-up darling. So probably cosplay.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Cosplay, yeah.
I think so.
Ashley Eckstein, Brendan Wayne, Charisma Carpenter, Colton Haynes from Teen Wolf and Arrow.
Oh, yeah.
He was Red Arrow for a while.
Yeah.
David Hayter, David Tennant for all you Doctor Who fans and, you know, about a million other shows.
You said David Hayter. I got real excited, but I'm like, oh, wait, no, that's Bill Hader that I am obsessed with.
That would be great if Bill Hader came to Comic-Con. It's just like, start making fun of all of us, please.
I just want to chat. We're good.
D. Bradley Baker, Eric Vale, James Arnold Taylor, James Marsters. Marsters? From Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
I instantly went to a different James Marsters.
Like, you going with that?
Wrong, you're wrong. Jamie Kennedy.
Nice.
Jennifer Hale. Juliana Harkavy from The Flash and The Arrow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I didn't. That's cool. Katie Sackhoff.
Nice.
Everybody knows Katie Sackhoff. Christine Sutherland, Latif Crowder, Lori Petty, Mara Wilson.
Lori Petty, adorable. I love
Matt. They are packed. Matthew Lillard.
Aww.
Matt Lantner. Does a voiceover for Clone Wars.
Yeah, there's quite a few. Like, I love that they always do like a good mix of like voice actors, because I'm obsessed with the voice actors as well as actual like artists and just a little bit of everything. You got your YouTube fans. I do love that we're going to be getting, I can never say his name, Rhys Darby, I think, from Our Flag Means Death.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yay!
Nev Campbell, because I believe Scream. There's going to be a Scream.
Another movie coming out soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Wise, Regan Murdoch. Robin Atkin-Downs. Just, I mean, a ton. This is the biggest list I've seen in years.
Oh, Vico Ortiz from Our Flag Means Death is also going to be there. Jim, if you saw that.
I did not. You guys... Stephen Amell will be there. The Arrow himself. Yeah. Tom Skerritt.
Yeah, Tom Skerritt.
Need to be like, why weren't you in the latest Top Gun? What's up with that?
What's going on with you, buddy? Come, talk to me. Talk to me.
You can age us by who we're excited about.
But yeah, a little bit of everything, especially when it comes to like also comic book artists, writers, all that kind of stuff. A lot of there's gaming, literary, all kinds of guests. So definitely check it out. I believe there's still some tickets left.
Yes.
It's not completely sold out. And I think, you know, the Panini had something to do with that. That's what they call it on the internet. It's like the kids these days, instead of saying the word. But yeah, there's still tickets available, individual and as well as a few, I think, like
four days are still available, and individual days are still available, and kids.
And I think you could even do squad bundles. And I find out, thank you, Josh, that the kids' passes are, I think, 6 to 12 years old. I got the 4-year-old, so free.
No, 6 to 12 is $27. Under 6 is free. So, yes.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Geo's free.
Yep, I already got my ticket. I'm just worried about him.
Yeah. But, yeah, it looks like a great show this year. I can't wait. Plus, I get to explore this year.
Mm-hmm.
When I know the layout, then you know all the shortcuts. And that's good for one way, but then it's not such an adventure.
Yeah. Right. You're going to go on an adventure. Also, there's another con, not too far from here, but not super close, coming up soon.
I maintain that Vegas is always close for everyone. Cheapest flights from anywhere are to Vegas.
Except if it's during March Madness and you're going for someone's wedding.
That's true. She should have went 2 weeks before and came with us to Dice Tower.
Yeah. That would have been fun trying to convince her.
Yeah, I don't think that would go over well. Nope. Then we would need a new Vicky. Yes, Dice Tower West. It's going to be at the Rio in Las Vegas this year, March 7th through the 13th or 8th through the 12th.
You would know better than me.
I keep getting confused because of my flight dates versus...
The actual con is March 8th through the 12th.
Thank you.
And it looks like there's still passes available.
A ton of exhibitors.
So yeah, if you find yourself in Vegas or on one of these nice flight options and you want to check it out even for a day, a $20 day badge, and there's still $150 5-day badges, or you just want to do the weekend... the 3-day weekend, I believe, is 110.
Yeah, I remember they have like the huge game library where you can play and borrow games.
Excuse me, $20 more per badge if you do at the door, not $20 per day.
Oh, yeah.
Their game library, they have over 3,500 games to choose from. So this isn't a con that you're like, well, I have to bring my game. Likelihood is they have a copy, and not only do they have one copy, they probably have two copies.
Yeah. And this is what we like to call a player's con.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There are some vendors. They will be selling some stuff. But unlike Gen Con, where it's just this massive store, this is for playing.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to play with folks from the Dice Tower, and they walk around and they interact. They're not hidden behind you know,
a paywall technically.
So, yeah. It's hugely popular for just going to be able to game with old friends, new friends, make new friends.
Everyone's always up to like play games or learn games. Like they have the little signs up.
Well, that's only because we never go to sleep.
Yep.
Yes, it's Vegas. There is no close of con.
No, the only time people go to sleep is when Vicky goes and she sleeps under the table.
That was funny though. That was, we were very relaxed.
I was sick that weekend too. That was not great. Oh God, no.
Our pre-pandemic. I think we found out where it started, Vicky.
It was pre-pandemic, literally, I think like the following week, everything shut down. Yeah, everything
just we got back and then a week later, it's like, you're never leaving again.
Forever! No, but it is very accessible, like you guys were saying. Like, you can definitely talk with the guests, hang out, play games.
And plus, one of our friends, because it is a five-day con in Vegas, he's like, hey, I got to dip out on Friday. I'm going to go watch a show. I bought some tickets for this magic show or Penn & Teller or this, just a million shows there. So it's never too expensive. It's Vegas.
Yeah. And there are some good sponsors that are going to be there. WizKids is going to be there, Bethia Games. Let's see here, Stronghold Games, CGE, Card Lords, Mayday Games, Pegasus Spiel. Cool, I'm really excited to see what they've got over there. Themes of Cosmos, Weird Giraffe. Let's see, Gay Ridge Games, Everything Epic. There's a lot of really cool people that are going to be there showing off like their latest games and stuff that might be coming down the pike soon. So that's always cool to see as well.
That's awesome. I will not be going because I do have a wedding a couple weeks after that in Vegas. So
you don't think your job will just give you like the whole month off?
Oh, that'd be lovely. But also money. Yeah. That'd be a lot of money I'm spending.
Yes, we're gonna try some other tabletop gaming in Vegas for Sean. He's gonna have to back this gaming project though, because I will show him how to play the traditional Vegas tabletop games, craps, three-card poker, four-card poker, blackjack. He has not got to play a lot of the table games. Roulette. Roulette's really fun. So you're going to lose all your money, so only bring what you plan on giving to Vegas.
To the casino.
Board games are a smarter thing. You get to walk away a little satisfied, and you get to bring your game with you.
Yes.
Moving on, we do have some other stuff besides cons to chat about, like more gaming, but specifically Quick Starters.
Yes. So the first one we'd like to talk about here is we're going to talk about The Curse of Candelabria. This is by...
Sorry, I have a really inappropriate song I will sing to you after this episode. Sweet. I can't say any of it on the podcast. Remind me. Anyways, continue.
This is by Lunar Oak Studios. This is a 1-6 player game that plays in about 30 minutes per player. So it's going to be a little bit kind of a bigger game. Wow, this game looks amazing. So this is like area control, hand management. You've got tactical battles. One thing they really pushed is that there's zero luck. There's no dice rolling. There's no card figuring out in regards to combat and whatnot.
It's all deterministic.
It's all deterministic.
But you kind of buried the lead there.
Yes.
The theme.
This theme is
what if the candle from Beauty and the Beast slaughtered everything else in the candle and raised a candle army?
Yes.
And then there's other candle armies growing into the candle army war.
Yep.
These are sentient candles.
Yes. This is everything's awesome. And you actually take these flame pieces and add them to
demon
measures.
Candles. Sorry.
There's demon candles, yes. There's a lot of really cool factions. The art in this looks amazing. The board looks amazing. All the components and everything just look fantastic. Looks just incredible. They did Sheol, which is another game that had an 8-8 on BGG. So they're known for making really good quality games. This one is going to be $95 for the core pledge, but you're getting a lot of really high quality stuff for that. So the amount of content you're getting for that price is definitely worth it. And these minis look, holy moly, the detailers are just incredible. The deluxe pledge, which gets you the 6-player and solo play, is $147. And if you want the all-in pledge, it's $253. But that gets you 128 minis for your army, as well as an art book and a player mat. So,
With these minis, while they come in gray, the fire on all them are the different colors.
Yeah,
so red,
player color.
Blue, green. So you'll always be able to tell at least where yours are. And I can't imagine when these become painted. There's a candle dude riding a candle dragon.
This looks so awesome, right? Yeah, this really, really cool. It's currently at 105 of their 158K goal, so they're really close. This has about 60 more gays to go, so March 15th is when this is going to be ending. There's about 600 backers right now. Get in and check this out. Make this happen, because it looks fantastic. I think this, if you like those really tactical style games at really high production value, this has it in spades for sure. Next up is a game that I don't know if you've ever played this, Vicky. Have you ever played the Red Dragon Inn?
I have. I actually have a couple of them, but most of the time I have played it, it wasn't with drinking, so I don't think we got the full experience.
Ah, well, yes.
I think I have a few issues that BJ handed me down.
The Red Dragon Inn, for those that don't know, is a D&D-themed-ish game where you're basically in the tavern and you're getting drunk and beating each other up, and it's really all kinds of chaotic fun. This is number 9 in their series, so they've had 8 previously to this, and this is called The Undercity. This actually takes place... is from the characters in Greyport. Greyport was a cooperative game that they had in the Red Dragon Inn world. So they're taking some of those characters from that that setting and bringing them into the Red Dragon Inn. So Red Dragon Inn 9 is going to let you be able to play it by itself. This could be your first one that you play. Or you can actually take everything and mix it into it. The characters that you're going to be getting are Dale the Mycologist, who's a pixie farmer. There's the Beast Sergeant, Yajela, the Dwarf Ranger, Dr. Tercy, the Human Physician, and Jet the Courier, a kobold acrobat, which is a very interesting character. So one thing that's really cool about Slugfest games is they're offering you 2 different versions. There's the KS version, the Kickstarter version, and that's going to be $40. And then they call it the Eco Edition, that's $35. And what that is basically just all the stuff, but you've got the big box, you've got everything. You don't need an actual box for everything. You just get the stuff inside. And so you can basically save, you know, some trees having to, produce all that extra paper and cardboard and waste. If you want the special edition version, it's going to be $90. It gets you, more upgraded materials and, cooler bits and all that kind of stuff. And then they have an eco version for that for $85. So you can save a little bit of money and help the, help the world a little bit, which is pretty cool. I like that they offer that as an option.
That is pretty cool.
We're going to jump over to the world of Gamefound now. Mm. This one is really interesting. So this started off as a Kickstarter. Now, one of the things about Gamefound is you can back a new project on Gamefound, but some games will go to Kickstarter, they fund, they're successful, and then when it's time to do Pledge Manager, they'll put their game on Gamefound and new people can jump in. So this is Licensed Colorful Inserts by Poland Games, and this is their Pledge Manager. So they were successful on Kickstarter and raised quite a bit of money, and they have a ton of inserts. Now, normally inserts are going to be kind of pricey. You're looking right in that $50 to $80 range for a nice quality insert.
Per
insert, yeah. These are, not only are they wood inserts, but they are printed inserts, which is, amazing. They're printed to match the art and the theme of the game that they go inside. So, games that they're covering, and this is, an incredible list. Games that you can pick up for Deal with the Devil, which we played and enjoyed a lot. Endless Winter, that's a really big hot one right now. Underwater Cities, that's really popular. Lacrimosa, Red Cathedral, Lost Ruins of Arnak, Maracaibo, Through the Ages, Zulkin, that caught my eye. Black Rose War, Bonfire, Frosthaven. Yeah, there's a giant one for Frosthaven. It looks incredible. Wingspan, Ark Nova, Dune Imperium, Bitoku, Viticulture, Nemesis. So really, a lot of the really hot games, they've got these amazing-looking inserts for. And the cool thing about these inserts is they don't need any glue. You just put them together. So they're made to snap together really easy, and they're very durable. And another really cool thing about this is that they're saying that they're going to be delivering these in May, and if they have too many, what they'll have to do
May
is a second one. No, May this year.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And
That's amazing.
And then the second wave would be in June. So.
Oh, well, God, you got to wait that whole extra month.
So let's go over some of the prices here. A lot of them are going to be around $15 to $30 for their inserts.
Wow,
they're really inexpensive, and you get like the versions that are all themed and pretty. So it's really cool looking. Yeah, definitely check this out on GameFound for sure. And the last one I'd like to talk about is Destiny's Witchwood, which is an expansion for the Destiny's setting by Lucky Duck Games. Now, Destiny's is a 1 to 3 player game. I really think it works best with 3 players. Josh and our buddy Spencer and I played this. It's a really cool story-based game where you have objectives, and your objectives kind of overlap each other in interesting ways. So it's kind of co-op, but you're still competing with
and
each other a little
bit. And a Fog of War game, narrative-driven, app-based, and an app that works really well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's just an amazing app. They did a phenomenal job with Destiny's itself. Witchwood is this horror-themed setting, and the main thing is this giant, creepy horror house that is alive and attacking everybody. Looks like a really interesting story. This one comes in for the deluxe version. It's coming at $118, but if you missed Destiny's before and you want to get all of the content, then it's going to be $261. And this one is another one that they funded on Kickstarter. Everything's all great. So this is into the pledge manager area right now. So get in and check this one out. They didn't say when the pledge manager would be closing, but I would definitely check it out. Because if you really like the story-driven games, if you like a lot of rich narrative, a lot of interesting choices to make as you're going through and exploring things, there's a lot that this game has to offer. And
I don't know any games like that. Which one looks really cool.
Exactly.
I like those games a lot.
Josh needs to get this one so we can play Witchwood.
No, I believe he will eventually get it. Like, it's pretty much said and done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no.
All the way.
Well, that has been another edition of BJJ's Board Game Alliance. Have fun at all the cons, and Josh,
play nice.